Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, here we go. Middle of the week. Today's the day they play the Hump Day song in the Chopin Bulldog Show. It's Wednesday. Hump Day! Right? That's what they do. I like doing it. That was one of my favorite commercials when it was on, actually. I haven't seen it in a long time, but they still play it every Wednesday on Chopin the Bulldog. Josh, you know what I'm talking about. The camel comes in, right? You have it in there. Hump Day! I don't want to steal it because it's Chopin the Bulldog, but that's what it is today, right?
You always got to celebrate a Wednesday. It doesn't matter, you know, where you are, what you're doing. You always got to celebrate a Wednesday.
Okay, so that said, here, I got a funny story for you. So a few years ago, that commercial comes out, and a few years ago, we were in, I think, Cleveland, maybe. Like, we went in the summer with the zoo, and they had these, like, little camel rides. And Max gets on a camel, and I get on a camel. And I'm on the camel, and, you know, I'm just trying to be funny. My son's in front of me. He's, at the time, I guess, like, maybe 7 or 8. It's a few years ago. And I just look, and there's people looking at me, and I'm on this camel, and I go, Hump Day! And everybody's looking at me like, who is this dude? What is he doing? Right? But that's just how I roll, man. It's just Hump Day. It wasn't Hump Day, though. It was Camel Day. We were on a camel. But today is Wednesday, and I am doing the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today from Lockport Country Club, because I'm going to head on out and play a little bit later. So I thank you, and I appreciate them having the ability to come up here. It's a beautiful space and place, and going to look forward to some golf a little bit later. And hopefully we're planning on having Sneaky Joe with me a little bit later as well. He just got off the Jeremy and Joe morning show. And, we're going to do what we did with Bulldog a couple weeks ago, which is, and with show, reverse roles. I will basically be asking Joe the questions. I go on his show or on Show with the Bulldog. They ask me the questions about the Bills. And today I'm going to ask him mostly about the Sabres, which is where I want to start, because yesterday, Kevin Adams, Jerry Fortin, they held their pre-draft press conference down at One Bills Drive. That's where the Sabres will be holding all of their, you know, draft planning and actual draft operation, I guess you'd say, come Friday night and through the weekend for the 2025 NHL draft. Our Paul Hamilton was down there, and he joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, Paul. Was it weird in any way to be in that media room with the group you were with instead of the normal group you're with when we're all down there together for the Buffalo Bills?
For many of the reporters there, it was their first time in that media room, because most of them don't cover both teams. You should have seen them. It was like kids in a candy store. They're like,
yeah,
we have a closet at the arena that we basically are in. The media room was forgotten about when they remodeled. And so it shows. It's very stuffy. There's no ventilation. You're packed in there like sardines. It's an unworkable place that we make work. And then they come into this roomy, spacious, plenty of room for the cameras. They're not jammed in, you know, sticking a camera in your back as you're sitting in the back row. And everybody's just like, wow. Look at this. Can we do this all the time? Can we install a rink here? The Bills are moving across the street. Can we install a rink here and use this media room?
Yeah, I think you'll have one game there eventually, sometime soon after it opens. I'll say this, though. It's funny you mentioned, I've been in the Sabres media room, you know, a handful of times. And you're right, the press conference room. You know what that room reminds me of exactly? It reminds me of an NFL post-game presser for the away teams. Like when Sean McDermott talks at an away stadium after a game, doesn't matter if it's Miami or the Jets or New England, some are better than others, but that's exactly what that room looks like, an away post-game press conference room for an NFL team.
You know what? And to me, it's an easy fix. It would cost a little bit of money, but there's for people who have been down to the arena and go into the parking ramp, there's a space between the arena and the parking ramp, a pretty good size space. And that on the other, if you were able to take that wall out, you'd be basically in the Sabres dressing room area or their either meeting room area or whatever might be up against that wall. You could kick that wall out and take it almost to the parking ramp, you know, leave a little bit of lane where people can walk by mm-hmm. outside, but you could really make it more spacious for, because that what the Sabres did, we were going to go in the media meal room and that became, they took over the room. So they have that for their players and whatever they do in there. So they couldn't make that a media room. So, you know, they could make more room for the Sabres. They could make a decent media room out of it. And to me, it wouldn't be all that hard. All they got to do is knock out a wall and extend the building.
Paul Hamilton in the West Shore Hotline, a little behind the scenes on what's how it works down at the media room and the access, because it's a little bit different this year for the Sabres. The draft is on Friday night, and of course, right after that is free agency beginning on July 1, and a lot was on the table yesterday for Kevin Adams. When you came on yesterday, Paul, I said, what's the first topic in question? And we both agreed it would absolutely be J.J. Paterka, and that is exactly what it was. Okay, I came away with even maybe more questions than answers about what the future is with J.J. Paterka, in whether it's in Buffalo or out of Buffalo. How did you interpret anything Kevin Adams said, and maybe kind of refresh what he said for any listeners who didn't hear?
He basically didn't want to get into it, and I understand that. I respect that, actually. I mean, he doesn't want to get into it as far as one way or the other, whether J.J. Paterka is asked to be traded or not. He would like to keep that in-house, and I understand that. He doesn't want to negotiate in the media or do anything like that. So that part of it I got, that he just wanted to keep that to himself. And if J.J. Paterka has a problem, I would, if I were in Kevin Adams' shoes, my thinking would be if J.J. Paterka wants to tell the media what the problem is, that's up to him. Now, you know, I'm not going to speak his business. You know, if he, you know, that's his business. And if he'd like to share with people, that's for him to share. So I thought that was fine, you know, that he really didn't want to get into it. But as it was happening, you know, he drags in, you know, nobody had, I had on my list, but sometimes you don't get to your whole list about Matias Samuelsson and is there a possibility of buyout and that. But he just went right to it and, you know, was really annoyed with, you know, all the inaccurate reports that are out there. And we all know that. I mean, most of the reports we see are not accurate out there. It's just people kind of throwing darts and, you know, a lot of it doesn't materialize, especially from the reporter that's been talking about Paterka. He might be right half the time, maybe. So, he got into the Samuelsson thing that there's no truth to it whatsoever. It hasn't even been considered, and he feels sorry for the fans that, you know, and it's just like, this isn't coming off good. You know, maybe you feel sorry for the fans that you haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. Not that they have to listen to whether you're going to buy out Samuelsson or whatever. My thought is this. Just go about your business, you know. Don't even talk about it. Don't even address it unless somebody asks you about it. And then just briefly say it's not something we're considering right now and leave it at that. But if nobody brings it up, look at it this way. You're not planning on buying out Matias Samuelsson. So that report will be proven to be false eventually because you didn't buy him out. So let it take care of itself. Then people will understand that this guy, a lot of the things he says aren't right and they don't happen. And, you know, some of the other insiders are much more accurate than he is. That's the way I look at it. You know, if you're not planning on buying him out, just let it be. And it'll come out eventually that, well, hey, they didn't buy out Samuelsson. That report wasn't very accurate.
I want to get back to Samuelsson. I want to go back to Paterka for a minute. Here's a question I've been pondering back and forth in my own head. Let's just say J.J. Paterka did say, hey, I prefer to get traded. I don't think he's, like, to me, it's like, come on, demand a trade at his, you know, status in this league. What are we doing here? But let's just say, you know, he has gone to Kevin Adams and say he prefers to play elsewhere. We know he's a restricted free agent. Who has more leverage in this situation? Is it the Sabres because they still have his rights, quote unquote, as a restricted free agent? Or is it J.J. Paterka because he doesn't have to sign any type of offer from the Sabres?
He doesn't have to sign, but he's just going to sit there. I mean, it's going to be a long time before he's an unrestricted free agent, so it's going to be an awfully long holdout. Now, Michael Pekka held out.
So is the answer the Sabres?
Yeah. I mean, Michael Pekka held out, and he took it all the way to February, and then he finally did get traded. So, and Kevin Adams.
He also says it's one of the worst regrets he's ever had as a professional.
Yes, it was.
If I remember correctly. I've spoken with him. I think you have. And I believe he has said something along those lines where, like, maybe not worst regret, but he wishes he could have done it differently, I guess. You know,
and
I mean?
He wished he could have come back to Buffalo. He wanted to come back to Buffalo, you know, later on in his career. And eventually did as an assistant coach with the Amerks. But,
who has leverage, though, you think? Do you think the Sabres have more leverage over Paterka in this situation?
Well, they don't want people around who don't want to be here. But the question is this agent-generated? Did his agent talk him into this?
Right.
And I believe he did because of who the agent is, Alan Walsh. That's the way he rolls. You know, get him into a bigger market. There's more money opportunities for him. He'll be happier. There's more things to do. Because J.J. Paterka on locker cleanout day did not indicate whatsoever that he was unhappy. He talked about playing with Lindy Ruff. He talked about ways he can improve his game for the Sabres. He wasn't downtrodden or anything, saying that he agrees with people that his body language on the ice isn't good and he needs to improve that. And just there was just nothing to indicate that he was unhappy at all. And then all of a sudden he's unhappy. And I think maybe the agent is unhappy and just thinks it's better to maybe get him out of Buffalo and maybe convinced him because I think I told you yesterday, you know, Pierre LeBrun came out and said the Sabres still would like to re-sign him, and that's the way they're leaning. And I don't think the Sabres are convinced that this is over, that they can't, you know, convince him that the Buffalo Sabres is best for him, which means that even kind of means to me more that maybe this is agent-generated. I think they still would like to try to pull this off if they can, that to keep him here and not have to trade him. Now, are they listening to offers? Sure they are. You know, but if it just turns out that doesn't want to play here, they don't want players here. And Adams talked about that again yesterday, that, you know, they don't want players here that don't want to be Buffalo Sabres and don't get up, you know, excited to be a Buffalo Sabre. So, you know, Paterka has to a point that they know that Adams doesn't want people here that don't want to be here. So they know that. Agent knows that. So, if they can't convince him, I think eventually, you know, the Paterka's camp, I will put it, will get what they want.
Yeah, it's funny you say about the agent. I agree with you. And we'll say, I think the same thing is happening in the Bills side with James Cook. I think a lot of it's agent-driven. I think James Cook, if you look at the history, he has an agent. I don't remember his agent's name, but someone had told me, look, you know, it's some of the history, even Dalvin, his brother, like this is kind of the way he plays it. This is his playbook. And it is interesting because what had happened when James Cook came to Buffalo for minicamp, and I'm going to draw the same parallel you just did, how J.J. Paterka talked at locker cleanout, it's kind of the same way that James Cook talked just 2 weeks ago, which is when he said he was asked basically, well, why did you put that number out there? I don't know. I just did it. Like almost like I didn't really want to. Like he's doing it from the playbook of the agent, and that's the way you're supposed to go about it. So it is interesting how all of those things, and in JJ's case here, if that's agent-driven, look, I mean, at the end of the day, though, the Sabres have your rights, and they're going to give a qualifying offer, and we'll see where it goes. The other part of this, I would say, Paul, is I find it hard to believe the Sabres can make a deal. It's possible, but I find it hard to believe they can make a deal to be better on the ice in 2025 by trading JJ Paterka. I know he's not a complete player. I get that. But it's tough to make a deal like that, to be better on the ice, to trade this player and ultimately get the better player in the deal, so to speak.
And any player in the NHL can become a complete player. That's up to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be able to understand defense and to be a good two-way player, that's up to you if you want to be that. It's not like, well, I want to be a much faster skater. You can improve your skating somewhat, but, I mean, you are who you are when it comes to that. But, you know, if you want to become a better defensive player, you can become a better defensive player. Look at Jiří Kulík. I thought he improved quite a bit defensively from what we saw, you know, a year ago from him because he's been working on it. So you can work on that and become better if you want to be. I'm sorry, I got a tangent. I forgot what you asked me.
That's okay. No. As you're doing that, let me move this Matias Samuelson, because I don't want to make it all about Paterka. And obviously, you talked about Matias Samuelson. What's interesting is he did say we haven't had the discussion to buy him out. He didn't say for sure that they wouldn't consider moving on from Matias Samuelson in some sort of trade.
Right.
But after what you heard from Kevin Adams, do you think the plan is that he will be on this roster, or would they still be open to moving him, you know, and taking a look at that?
I didn't get an impression one way or the other because he was busy trying to put down the person who was putting that report out there. So that was his agenda on that. I wouldn't buy him out either. I know it's only a little bit over $700,000, but he's on your cap for 10 years. You're paying him for 10 years. And then you get in the spot like they're still paying Christian Ehrhoff. And some fans out there who maybe are a little bit younger, like, who is Christian Ehrhoff? Yeah, they're still paying him. You don't know who he is, but they're still paying him. You know, and I don't like that situation. I would rather trade him for almost nothing. You know, if it's a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, whatever, it's maybe just getting the money off your cap and getting him off the roster type of a thing, because as we mentioned yesterday, I don't know as a player in the locker room if you can come back from what you did, especially since Tage Thompson was on a podcast out of St. Louis a week or two ago saying how disappointed he was in that incident. And he also said, I don't think it'll happen again. He goes, we've addressed it. We've talked about it. And he goes, we were much better at it after that. And I don't think it'll happen again. Now, it shouldn't get to a point where you even have to talk about it. It should be automatic from a hockey player that is taken care of. But Samuelson is kind of the face of that. And even after that, he got into some scrums, but there were others that he didn't. So I remember saying to myself a couple of times, are we back to this again, that you're not getting involved? Mm-hmm. And to me, it's hard to come back from something like that in the locker room. So I think it might be better if you know, you just eliminate it however you can, but I don't think a buyout is the way to do it, just because I wouldn't want him on my payroll for 10 more years.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. His reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Okay, Alex Tuch, maybe a little bit more of a positive on the news on Alex Tuch front. What did you get from all that?
Yes, I think that was a positive out of it, that he said Alex Tuch knows that he's a priority. Now, remember, Kevin Adams told us in April that Alex Tuch is a priority, but he has made it clear to Alex Tuch in discussions with him that he is a priority, and he says Alex Tuch wants to be here and wants to remain a Sabre, and it is still a priority. And he goes, Alex Tuch knows he's a priority on this team, and he should know that, because if you're trying to get better, you're not going to get better if Alex Tuch isn't here. I don't care what the trade is. He does things for this team that other players don't. And I think he is a key cog. I mean, you already, in my mind, have a spot in your top six. Right now, I don't think Zach Benson, although I like him as a player and I like what he does, I don't think he's a top six player yet. So that's where I think you have a vacancy. If Paterka goes, now you have two vacancies. If Paterka and Tuch both go, you have three vacancies in six spots out of six spots on your top six. Now you have really slid backwards as far as, you know, as what you're trying to do. So I think it just is essential that they come to an agreement with Tuch and keep him here. You almost could say, other than Dahlin, he might even be the face of the franchise, just because of being from Buffalo and talking so glowingly about us being a Sabre fan in Buffalo. And, you know, Alex Tuch is always available to speak for the team. And as one of the captains, he will take the responsibility seriously that he needs to speak after games, whether they're good or bad. And, he doesn't shy away from it or hide from it. So, plus, he's good with the players, and I think he's a very important cog. So it's just, I think it's very, very important that he remains a Buffalo Sabre.
Do you think anything, Kevin Adams, shed any light on what they believe about the goaltending situation heading into 25-26?
No, because it was nothing different from what he said in April. exactly mm-hmm. the same thing, that he's if he goes into the season with two young goaltenders in Lukanen and Levi, he's comfortable with that. So nothing changed there. And he said before, same thing, that, you know, Levi's on a timeline that, you know, when he's ready, he'll let them know. And what he means by that is he'll let them know by his play. You know, he will be playing at an NHL level, and that's how the organization will know that he's ready to go. After a year and a half in the minors, as I said, in the last year and a half, I think the development has been good. I didn't think it was good at all, the way they handled it before that, but I think they've corrected that. I think what they've done in the last year and a half has been good for his growth. I would not be comfortable if I was a GM, you know, going with the two young goalies. It could work out. They both might be lights out. That could happen. Absolutely. Lukanen could regain what he was, not last year, but the year before. Levi could show that he's ready. He has the pedigree to be a good NHL goaltender, being maybe the best college goaltender that's ever lived and being an AHL All-Star, and he has very good numbers in the playoffs, despite not good numbers in the last series, but overall in the last 2 years, his numbers are excellent in the playoffs. So, you know, he has a good resume, but I wouldn't stake my reputation on it if I were a general manager, knowing I have to make the playoffs, that, well, we're going to do this, hoping, as Zucker says, and you said yesterday, hope is not a strategy. You can't be hoping that these two guys are going to do it. And I just think
right.
you got to bring a veteran guy in, and if that means another year starting the year in Rochester, I don't know if Levi would be real happy about that, but you got to do what's best for the team and best for him and his growth.
Paul, before I let you go, Kevin Adams did talk a little bit about, you know, the front office, the addition, obviously, of Jarmo Kekäläinen. No changes on the coaching staff, but specifically on Jarmo, we learned that he is basically working remote. There was a reaction to that on social media from fans. Do you think it's an overreaction in this day and age? I mean, heck, I'm doing a radio show right now. I'm remote. I'm at a golf course. I can do it wherever. I can go to training camp. I can be wherever. I can be on a ship in Italy or in Italy when I'm going in 2 weeks and do a radio show. But also, you know, you can. There's something to be said for being in a certain spot. When I'm in studio, we can see each other. These things happen all the time in the world, is what I'm saying. So when you take it into that context and you think about his role, how important is it that he's not in Buffalo or he is in Buffalo?
If I'm being totally honest with you, that's the thing that hit me the most out of the whole press conference. I know it wasn't talked about hugely. It was talked about, but not hugely. That was the thing where that raised my eyebrows. I go, really? He's not going to be here? You know, and Kevin Adams says, well, he's only a 4.5-hour drive away. Yeah. But I don't know. I like the hire. I think it's a very good hire, but I would like the two men to be together on a daily basis. And yeah, he can join meetings remotely by Zoom and everything, but, you know, to be together at games all the time, sitting next to each other, analyzing, you know, as it's happening. You know, well, this player is really getting in bad habits here. I think, you know, we should do this or we should do that, or I don't know. I just think I was very surprised by that and taken back by that he is not going to be here in Buffalo full time. And I know he's going to be here a lot. But, yeah, that is the thing that really struck me from the whole thing that went down yesterday was that. I didn't like that. I like the hire, and I think it's a good hire, and I think it was a needed hire. But I don't like the fact that he's not going to be around all the time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a little old school on this when it comes to this particular thing. As much as I said, like, hey, we can do this these days, right? Everybody can. I was in a meeting yesterday, and some people were in a conference room. Some people were on a Zoom call, basically. We can do all this, but there's something to be said for walking down to someone's office and talking to them, right? Yeah. Having them a few feet away. If you have, hey, this just came up. Some guy, you know what? Somebody, we just got an alert that somebody is shopping somebody. Let me go talk to my, you know, senior advisor and tell him about this. There's something to be said about that, I would say.
Or a trade. It said, you know, we've got a half hour to decide on this. Let's put some tape up and let's see this player that we're talking about. You know, let's look at it together here and analyze this player. We don't have a lot of time because there are three teams in on this trade. Do we want this player? Well, you got to be there to be able to do this and to sit together and have this discussion. And as I said, go over some tape and do that. I just think it's better, you know, now Karmanos has pulled it off, you know, being basically in Pittsburgh as the GM of the Rochester Americans, and the Americans have done very well. I think he's done a good mixture of veteran players to mix with the younger prospect players. They've, you know, were in the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago and very easily could have been there this year. So it has worked for him. I don't like that either. But, it, you know, you look at the results and you can't say it's not working for him. So, yeah, they can make it work. But I don't know. I just think that I just, as I said, maybe it is what you said, old school. I just think it's better. I think it's better for the organization if the two are together all the time.
Paul, don't go very far this week. You still got tomorrow and Friday. Now, I'm doing the morning show tomorrow, so I don't know if Joe what his plan is yet, but I know that on Friday, either way, the first day of the NHL draft, we'll try and catch up, so I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, but today I'll be more draft-oriented because I did an article mostly on the state of the Sabres, but Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin also had a lot to say about the draft coming up, and that'll be today's article dealing more with the draft.
And we will talk more about the draft over the next couple of days. I appreciate you saying that because as much as, you know, we've talked about all of this that we have with the Sabres roster, they do have the number 9 pick, and they are picking on Friday night. We'll see where that goes. So we'll talk more about that as the week goes on. Thanks a lot, buddy.
No problem. Take care.
All right. Paul Hamilton right there on the Western Hotline. We will take a timeout. When we come back, I want your reaction to what Kevin Adams said or didn't say. I have a thought about the reaction to the reaction, right? I guess the way I want to put that is, you know, it's very predictable, and I'm not even criticizing when I say it this way. It's very predictable what the reaction would be to whatever Kevin Adams would say. So I want to kind of get into that, but ask you what your reaction is to anything he said yesterday. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sal Capaccio with you. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. It's hump day, and we'll be back after this timeout.
Yeah, I mean, I thought of the exit meeting with JJ, with me and Lindy separately, both were very positive, productive, honest conversations about things he'd done well and how he progressed and things where he needed to be better. And I think that's one of the things I really like about JJ Paterka is his ability to analyze his own game and say, hey, I need to be better defensively. I need to do more to help the team win in games. And I think that's a sign of maturity from him.
Kevin Adams right there, Sabres general manager. He talked to the media yesterday, a pre-draft press conference, pre-free agency press conference, I guess, but more of that will happen before free agency because he'll talk after the draft as well. We'll have full coverage for you here on WGR Sports Radio 550. The draft starts Friday night, rolls into Saturday, and we'll have reaction. We'll have Kevin Adams talking. Of course, if the Sabres do pick number 9, there'll be a lot on that. And of course, follow Paul at PHAM1717 on social and at WGR550.com. I've been thinking about this Paterka thing, and I asked Paul a question earlier. By the way, give me a call, 803-0550, to chime in on anything that you heard yesterday and how you want to react to that. And you know what? I'll get to that first, before the Paterka stuff. So I think no matter what Kevin Adams says at this point, it's not going to go over well with Sabres fans, right? Sabres fans in general are kind of just like, okay, I'm tired of this. They haven't won. I don't like the guy. He's been in this position a long time, and they still haven't won. Then he makes the comment about palm trees, and people don't like it, right? I mean, that's just where we are. Isn't that kind of the predictability of it? Honestly, I'm not kidding. Let me ask you this, Josh. Am I wrong to think if Kevin Adams came out today and said, we just made a trade for Connor McDavid, yeah, you'd be happy, but people would still not like Kevin Adams, I think, Sabres fans, and think, okay, great, but we still wish another GM.
Connor McDavid, I think would be just right. Fine. But I get your point.
No, like, but like you know what I mean? I'm talking about the GM himself, though, and I know people would love the trade, but aren't we to a point, no matter what he says, it kind of doesn't move the needle for Sabres fans until they win?
Yeah, I think so, because there was a lot of, you know, this sort of feeling the year they missed the playoffs by 1 point. There was a lot of this feeling in the offseason of like, oh, they just need a couple pieces. And, you know, they added a couple of them. Maybe this is what they need. And, you know, this was maybe this was a great offseason. He didn't have to do too much. So, like, let's just hope that everyone advances a little bit further and these couple new pieces will help us out. And then, boom. And nothing happened. They got worse. And so that's where I think you're right. Like, if no matter what he does, it's going to be like, okay, cool. What's the record in December? What's the record in January? What are we talking about at the trade deadline? Are we talking about, you know, moving out guys that are on expiring contracts, or are we talking about making a push and trying to trade for guys that have expiring contracts because, you know, you need guys to help you with a playoff push? Like, that's where people are at, I think, is you get to this point where it's like, yeah, great. Everyone wins the offseason. It's the offseason. People get healthy, players get moved, and you get this new beginning feeling. But for Sabres fans, and, you know, there's other teams like this, but mostly very prominently with Sabres fans, it's the, okay, cool, like, talk to me in March. Like, what's happening then? You know, that's where they've gotten
you
to.
You know what that reminds me of? You weren't here at the time. You were younger, and you weren't working yet at WGR, but one time, Buddy Nix, you know who Buddy Nix is, right? Former Buffalo Bills general manager.
Yep.
He came on this radio station and he said, "No one who wants to hear about labor pains, just show me the baby." That's what he said. It was great. It was actually a really great line.
Yeah.
Said, right?
Right.
I mean, and I get it. And that's exactly, Buddy had some really good ones, by the way, but that's what he said. Nobody wants to hear you talk about labor pains, just show me the baby. Something like that is how he phrased it. But it's right. Hey, you can talk all you want. I mean, if you've been winning, then, you know, okay, well, I'll give you a little benefit of the doubt. I think where we are now is Sabres fans just don't give Kevin Adams any benefit of the doubt. I'm not here to tell you should give him any benefit of the doubt, but I also know that you go into a press conference yesterday. I guess for me what happened was yesterday when I wrote, I tweeted, hey, we're going to carry Kevin Adams' press conference live. And it already, man, it just started getting aggressive right away. It didn't matter. People like, he's not going to say anything. Get him out of here. I don't care. Not going to learn anything. Doesn't matter. Like, that was the reaction even before he said a word, right? So I think that's where we are. That's where Sabres fans are with the Buffalo Sabres general manager. I try to take a different approach myself. It's like, I want to hear what he says. Like, I'm interested. He's the guy running the team. Doesn't matter if you like him or not like him. Doesn't matter what they've done in the past. I need to hear what the plan is about what he wanted to do with J.J. Paterka or Alex Tuch. And then you can formulate your opinion after that. And, of course, if you go into something, you know the way this works, Josh. If you go into something with a preconceived notion, you're going to have bias confirmation, confirm your biases, right? So no matter what Kevin Adams then says yesterday at the press conference, you're going to find a way, if you already think, I don't care what he says, I don't like him, I don't want him my GM, you're going to find a way to criticize a lot of what he says. It's just the way it works, right? It's the same thing we talked about when Josh Allen got drafted. And how many people said, this guy stinks, it's a terrible pick by the Bills, yeah, he can't hit the broadside of a barn, he's totally inaccurate. So guess what happened the first 2 years in the league? Every single time Josh Allen stepped on the field, every single mistake he made, regardless of any great throw he made, every single mistake he made, all those people were amplified. And they made sure that you knew that they said this about him. We are far past that. What's crazy is you still see it, right? You still see it with Josh, because that's what happens, how people get entrenched in their own opinions, their own beliefs, and what they think. And you're just going to have your biases confirmed. Look, I'm sitting at a beautiful golf course right now. I'm looking out. I'm at Lockport Country Club. It's a beautiful view. There's hills and bunkers, and it's great. This is not the easiest course, right? I'm not a great golfer. I love this course. It's not the easiest course for someone like me. Josh, if I'm thinking right now, oh my God, this course is really hard, as soon as I get out there and hit a couple shots, I'm going to start blaming the course, not just me. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
I do the exact same thing, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, exactly. And it's me, though, right? It's still me hitting the ball. Like, you could come out here, Brian Kozier, come out here and shoot 70s, because that's what he does every time I play with him. But, you know, so I'm like, it's not the course, it's me. Yeah, the course is more challenging, but if I already have it in my head, oh my God, this is a really hard course, I'm not going to hit the ball well today, I'm going to land in some really rough spots, then as soon as it starts happening, yes, I'm mad at myself, but I'm already thinking it's because of the course I'm playing. It's just what we do. And again, you can have every single thought of not liking and not, you know, wanting Kevin Adams as the Sabres general manager. When I go into these things, no, I think I want to hear what he says. I want to hear what he says about this particular topic and that topic, and then formulate an opinion based on that. I was hoping for more on JJ, because maybe I was hoping for more positivity on JJ. I don't want the Sabres to trade J.J. Paterka. Now, if they do it, then you better get something really good in return that's going to help you this year. That's one of my bigger fears. And I've said this many times about the state of the Sabres right now. I don't care about 26, 27. I don't care about 2030. There's 14 years into this thing. I don't care about number three pick being floated around. You know, there was someone on the station that was talking the other day, yesterday in the morning show. Who they have on? Chris somebody. What was his name? I want to give him credit.
Chris Peters.
Chris Peters. And Chris is like, look, that's a valuable cornerstone franchise player if you can get the number three pick. Yeah, it can be. It's also going to take some years to become that. And maybe that player eventually becomes way better than J.J. Paterka is. I don't want to wait for that anymore. I don't. I mean, now is the time. And I think Kevin Adams knows that, right? Like, that's what I keep thinking. Like, can he really believe? Because I want to see it. If it happens, if he really believes, if he's in a situation where he says, I got to trade this player, J.J. Paterka, and, you know, I got to move him because of the contract situation, he doesn't want to be here, whatever. If that's what's going on, which we don't know, he also knows, like, he's got to win this year, right, Kevin Adams? I just find it hard to believe that they're going to make a hockey deal to get better on the ice by doing it. Now, it doesn't have to be a one-for-one get better. If you trade J.J. Paterka and you don't get the better player in the deal, that can happen. But it might open up something where, because of the roster spot, because of how the build of the team work, it opens up something else to bring in another player who is better to replace him, right, from another separate deal or free agent. That can happen. So it is possible at the end of the day, at the end of the process, to get better by trading him. I just find it hard. He's a good young player. We could talk all about his defensive deficiencies. Fine. Whatever. I mean, they talk about that with Mitch Marner. The guy is, he gets Selke votes. So I don't, and I'm not comparing, you know, Paterka to Marner, but he's a good young player. And I find it hard to believe that this team is going to, and this GM is going to find a deal that makes this team better this year by trading him. Now, what does a contract look like for him? That is definitely a kind of question, an issue, and maybe really a bit of a wonderment, right? Because you just don't know kind of where that fits. And would they want, would he want at the end of the day? Let's just say they do say, okay, yeah, we're going to keep him and all that. Qualify him. Is that a bridge deal? Is that a longer deal? How much money is that? And then you also have the offer sheets that could come. I learned something about offer sheets that I did not know because Marty Biron said something a couple weeks ago on Sabres Live. And I had no idea about this. And I looked it up and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So, Josh, I asked you about this in the break, and I'm glad I'm not the only one who didn't know. I didn't realize this. So I want to read this, okay? Marty Biron said this, and I'm like, wait, well, what is he talking about? So I had to do some research. By the way, I got a couple of things on salary caps I want to talk about with all these leagues because everything's confusing these days. A lot of stuff is confusing. So an offer sheet's compensation to the player's original team. I'll break it down for you. If, let's just say, the Rangers give an offer sheet to J.J. Paterka, right? The offer sheet, if it's over 5 years, it doesn't matter. The annual average is only divided by five. So, for example, if the Rangers offer sheet J.J. Paterka a seven-year deal, for $70 million, okay? They don't use the, $10 million a year, right? $7 million a year. $10 million a year. By the way, that's not going to happen. I'm just trying to use some, you know, good math here for everybody. You don't divide it by seven. For the actual purposes of the offer sheet compensation, you only divide it by five. It is the maximum number you can use in an offer sheet compensation calculation, 5 years. So if J.J. Paterka gets an offer sheet for 6 years or 7 years, whatever the total number of value is only gets divided by five for purposes of the compensation going back to the team. And if that number is somewhere between 9 and 11 million, you're getting two first rounders, one second rounder, and one third round pick. If it's 7 to 9 million, you're getting a first, a second, and third round. If it's 4 to 7, you're getting a first and third round pick, right? Now, on the team's salary cap, Josh, on the Rangers' salary cap in that situation, it would still be divided by 6 or 7 years. But for the offer sheet calculation, it's only 5 years. I did not know this.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I think that's really interesting. And also, too, like, you got to remember, like, if we're talking about, you know, just any team doing this offer sheet, let's say it's that $7 million AAV. You can have $7 million in cap space, but what if that team, and this, I saw this from Frank Saravalli the other day, what if the team that's offer sheeting you front loads it with signing bonuses, where whichever team ends up signing this player has to sign, hey, you know, $5 million of this is going to be a signing bonus as soon as your pen hits the paper. That could also be a big deal for certain teams. Even if you have cap space, you have to have real world money at some point too. So there are like so many levels to these offer sheets. That's why I wish they happened more, so people would be able to get to see this more often. But, you know, it's really
there's a term for that, by the way, in football. There's a term for that in football. And I think they eliminated it, but years ago, when there was a different sort of free agency years ago, it's called a poison pill. You ever hear that? Poison pill?
Yep, yeah.
So they put a poison pill, like, clause. And I remember one time this happened. I can't remember the player and who it was, basically. Somebody was offer sheeted. I think the Colts were involved, maybe. And they offer sheeted somebody and said, you're always guaranteed to be the highest paid player on our team. Because they didn't have a quarterback at the time. And the other team's like, well, we can't do that. Isn't that amazing? Like they couldn't do that.
That's
they couldn't
really
match that.
Interesting. Yeah. So that contract would constantly be changing because you'd have to You'd have to pay them higher than the next highest person every single year.
Yeah. So that's a poison pill. And of course it works different in the NFL because in the NHL you sign it and it's bam, straight across the board. It's annual average value. NFL, you actually divide the, you know, roster, the signing bonus into the number of years. Anyway, I didn't mean to confuse anyone if I did. So basically I'm just gonna say it again. If you offer sheet someone in the NHL, if the offer sheet is over 5 years, it doesn't matter. Even for salary cap purposes, it's still going to be what it is, like normal. But for the offer sheet calculation compensation, you have to divide the total contract by 5 years. That's the compensation that goes back to the original team. And that's why teams don't really offer sheet anyone over 5 years these days. We will take a timeout. We'll come back here. And I have some more thoughts on J.J. Paterka and your thoughts on what Kevin Adams had to say yesterday here on the Northtown Auto.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, I knew I wasn't totally crazy, but memory is going a little bit as I get a little older here because Jack tweets in at Sal Sports, getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. He tweets in. The poison pill was Seattle signing offensive guard Steve Hutchinson. That is correct. I remember that, Jack. Thank you. From Minnesota. And the pill wasn't to always be the highest paid player on the team, Josh. What it was, and this is what it was, always be paid as a top two or three offensive lineman, including tackles, which get a lot more money in the NFL. He was a guard. So that's right. They put the poison pill in there, but it's still the same effect where you have to constantly adjust the contract. But what they did was they said, we're going to sign you this offer sheet, and in there is going to be a clause that says you will always be paid as one of the top two or three offensive linemen in the league.
That's really interesting. I never knew that. I didn't know, like, I'm not that up to date on NFL contract history,
right,
but that's like such an interesting clause that some GM deviously thought up.
Yeah, and I think since then they've kind of done away with those kinds of things in some way. So very interesting. I also learned some stuff about the NBA. Well, actually, I haven't learned it. I am very, very confused about the NBA and something that's going on with that. I want to bring that up on the other side. I talked to you about J.J. Paterka, though. I do want to still talk about J.J. Paterka. And I think there's this part of me that I'm kind of mad about this whole situation and where it is for a certain reason. I don't know if I should be, like, I'm not mad at J.J., I guess. Right? I don't want to do it that way and say it that way. But, like, who is he to kind of, you know, be in this position if he is demanding a trade? And I'll get into that in a minute. So let me take a timeout. When we come back, I want to kind of dive more into the state of J.J. Paterka and the Buffalo Sabres and where they are with him and where he is and all those things we've talked about. Also, NBA, I'm very confused on something that's going on with the NBA right now. So I want to talk about that and any of your phone calls at 803-0550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.